Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents To a Fungus Unknown, a Space Colony Exploration Series by William C. Tracy, narrated by Audie Cabral. A Timeline of Events. 5.77 megaseconds, 2 months, 2 weeks, before landing. A fleet of 8 generational ships from Earth arrives in their 11th star system since beginning their journey. The system is categorized and named. The fourth planet, 11D, Leda, orbiting around 11, Lev, is determined to be conducive to life, more than any other target so far. The 8 admins are revived from Sassani: Jane Brighton, Ahman Ragab, Dmitry Novikov, Shi Wenqing, Rajani Kumarisarajinder, Alessandro Giordano, Maria Gutierrez Delgado, and Polunu Kim. They all have gene mods from Earth that enable them to live for centuries. Vagal super soldiers re-engage the chain of command, causing conflict with the generational inhabitants of the fleet, who have been operating largely independently for 400 years. The soldiers will live almost as long as the admins, while the generationals live more standard-length human lives. There is a large amount of fungal biomass covering the planet, often to a depth of dozens of meters. Landing to 6 weeks after landing. The fleet glasses approximately a 10-kilometer diameter landing site near the equator of Leda. This is where they will begin constructing a city, labeled an Arcopolis, from the ships of the fleet. Meanwhile, the biomass of Leda, which is itself sentient, watches the events with curiosity. It labels the glassed area as the Ring of Death, and the settlers as the children who ate their parents, confusing the fleet ships for living beings. 13 days after landing, an instability in the UGS Khonsu during deconstruction leads to a catastrophic collapse of the ship skeleton and the loss of 23 Vagals and 58 Generationals. It also opens a crack in the ground, leading to the discovery of a cavern under the glassed site still containing biomass material. It turns out to be deadly to the Vagals who investigate. One of them, Anderson, loses a hand to fungal infection. More caverns are discovered, and preliminary investigation into the nearby river and biomass at the edge of the glassed site leads Frank Silver, a generational, to the revelation that the biomass covering the planet is one individual entity with expressions of animal, plant, and fungal cell material. It is not suspected to be sentient, merely very well adapted to living on Leda. 6 weeks to 1 year after landing, the biomass begins actively observing the humans who have landed, attempting to categorize them. Meanwhile, the colonists find many of their animal species are dying from fungal infections, and plant species are being changed by the biomass into unusable crops. The colonists heavily cull their agriculture to keep the most successful species alive. The admins try to find ways of killing the biomass, with little success. They also determine there is a severe lack of metals on Leda, likely because much of them are held within biomass structures. Admin Jane Brighton decides to use much of their remaining nanotanium metal from the fleet to start construction on a wall that will encircle the first 2 radians of the colony, Alpha and Beta. This will keep out the worst invasions of the fast-growing biomass. The colony had been projected to take 10 years to complete all 8 radians. That timeline is now uncertain. One of the colonists, Jiao, begins to meet a group that is unhappy about the direction admin is taking on the colony and wants to secure more supplies for the generationals. Agatha Xenakis is called to where her husband, David Xenakis, has fallen into a deep shaft under the colony, containing one of the only sources of metal found. While he recovers, he dreams of the moss and tiny creatures he landed on at the bottom of the cave. 7 months after landing, the decanting tubes are restarted to begin growing children for the colony. Many colonists begin families, and Agatha and David are given a top spot due to his injuries and his discovery of metals. Meanwhile, the admins plan construction of the next radians using the new metals, but determine they must find another source of building material. 1 year to 5 years after landing, the biomass continues to make advances against the colony, while the generationals construct the colony and the Vagals battle against biomass incursions. Frank discovers that the biomass has already hybridized with the local honeybees. Even worse, it is already intrinsic to the colony, and the best they can do is hope to live with it. While tensions mount between the generationals and the admins, Agatha and David welcome their new child, but their happiness is short-lived, as David collapses soon after. Doctors find his body has been overrun by fungal strands, and he succumbs soon after. Zhao also has a child by herself, though with genetic material donated by Frank. As the two children grow and Agatha and Zhao help each other in child-rearing, Admin develops plans to limit the generational's influence in the Arcopolis, while developing a new building material. Frank, along with some other scientists, develop resinplast, a byproduct of biomass material, but they have problems in turning off the biomass's rampant reproduction. After several years, they finally discover a way to suppress the viral communication in the biomass, rendering the resinplast usable. Agatha, like most generationals, is hard at work leading a construction crew, but this affects her ability to raise Philippe, her child. Zhao takes up the slack with her child, Chui, but Agatha's relationship with Philippe suffers. Zhao takes part in raids on the colony supplies, culminating in an attempt to steal rumored nuclear weapons. The rumors are false, several generationals are captured, and later they are forced out into the biomass. A death sentence. Anderson discovers a full life in the Arcopolis, especially in the new Beta Radian market, where he begins to write stories, prompted by a mentor. The colony draws inward, reducing their ventures out into the biomass as Beta Radian is finally completed after 5 years. 5 years to 20 years after landing. The next generation of the colony, nicknamed Grounders, begins to grow. The admins, led by Jane, begin to plan for when the generationals are all gone. They look to the future while the generationals and Grounders are living their lives. Admin gradually forces the generationals out into each newly completed Radian, Gamma at 10 years, then Delta at 15, leaving the first Radians for the admins and their Vagal soldiers. As Chui and Philippe grow, they adapt to life in the colony. Many of the oldest generationals are dying off, or sometimes just disappearing, as Admin secretly sends troublemakers out into the biomass. Anderson settles down, becoming an established writer as well as leading Vagal soldiers. There have been heavy casualties, and only a fraction of their number is left. Agatha pours herself into her work, to the point where her son leaves home as soon as he can, to join a new Grounder recruitment to shore up the number of Vagals. Zhao avoids being captured after the attempt to steal nukes, and keeps her head low, going about her life. Frank, meanwhile, keeps working on the resinplast formula. They have a building material, but it is only a matter of time until the biomass adapts to it, as it has to every other attempt to keep it out of the colony. Finally, the biomass watches and observes. It takes in those Admin has sent out into the biomass to try to understand how humans work. There are many failed attempts, but it learns more each time. Part 1. Almost complete. 40 years after landing. Observations on the children who ate their parents. These life forms have 6 main forms of presentation. The first, elite form, spends most time in the shells created for protection from weather conditions, rarely seen. Likely responsible for higher functioning and strategy. Often has a coterie of support drones when traveling. More research is needed on this form, as even 40 planetary rotations have not yielded their full purpose within the children. Agatha placed the last of her long-sleeved wool sweaters in the cargo crate. She'd collected them over the years from some of the best weavers at the Arcopolis markets. "Have you got all the cookware?" she called down the hall to Beth. She eyed the blue line on the wall, as if the direction indicator would answer her. They'd had to paint the lines when they moved in, as Admin certainly hadn't planned for ship-based orientation pathways in the housing on Leda. "Almost," Beth's voice wafted back. It was a rich, firm voice. Curt when explaining, warm when speaking to a loved one. Agatha's wife was just as annoyed as she was to be moving, again, at their age. They had thought the apartment in Zeta Radian would be the last place they lived.
"Just got to stack all these damn pans together. Are you certain you really need the zero-G covered pots?"
Agatha tried to answer, but her throat closed before she could get a word out. Fucking menopause. Shouldn't she be done with this by now? The zero-G pans were the only reminder she'd let herself keep of David, her first spouse. He'd died, a victim of the biomass that defined their life on Leda. It had been nearly 40 years ago, soon after they landed. And after her child wanted to have nothing to do with her, she'd been nearly alone for the next 30 years, until she met Beth.
"Agatha?
Keep them,"
she croaked out. Beth's face appeared around the doorway after a few seconds, mahogany skin to Agatha's oak, braids fastened with metal bands clinking together as she moved.
"You all right, love?"
She was holding one of the damnable pans, the Dutch oven, the one with the scratch by the venting spout where David had dropped it soon after they landed. He'd been so used to letting it hang in the air on the ship while he was cooking.
"Just remembering."
"We'll make new memories in the apartment in Eta Radian," Beth said.
But it was one of the doctor things she said. Agatha could see the anger in her face, though she tried to hide it.
"Just like we did here in Zeta, and like you and I did when we lived in Delta, and when we first landed in Alpha. How many times is Admin going to force us out? Once Theta's complete, they'll force us out there, too. And then to whatever Arcopolis they start building next, if we're still alive by then."
She waved a hand.
"Sorry. I don't mean to rehash."
Beth set the pot down on their bed.
"Love, no one likes moving, and Admin's full of their own egotism. But they say it's for the good of the colony. Give the grounders their space to grow, create, and build the next generation. We are in our 60s.
"I built this apartment myself,"
Agatha said, touching one of the resin-plast walls with a fingertip.
"As a place where we could grow old together, and it's only been 10 years.
"Come on,"
Beth said, wrapping an arm around her.
"You also destroyed half the block while you were building it, if I remember correctly.
It's just resin-plast. We'll have all our things, and Harry's coming by later to help us load up the garden pots."
Harry had been more of a son to her than her biological son. First a member of her construction crew, then her foreman, then the leader of the crew when Agatha had been forced to retire. That last had been when the biomass evolved to use plant reproduction in addition to its usual methods. They had nearly lost the city, and would have, if Beth's mycophage hadn't put a stop to the biomass's surge. Beth's original unstable mycophage had enraged the admin so much they banished her to a hospital in Zeta Radian, back when that had been the one under construction. Agatha touched her wife's cheek.
"I would never have met you if that seed pod hadn't shot through my hand."
Beth reached up to clasp her fingers.
"This hand seems to be working well now, or does it need some exercise to check your dexterity?"
She waggled her eyebrows.
"You're all dusty from packing,"
Agatha said.
"I don't think much of your medical standards."
Beth kissed her palm.
"Only part of me is dusty."
Agatha leaned in for a real kiss.
"I guess you're right. Must be those medical standards."
Then she sighed. Beth was only working 2 days a week at her medical practice now, barring the random neighbor with an injury. She'd turned back to her first love, bioorganics. Beth's mycophage had suppressed the floral expressions of the biomass's DNA, at least around the city, and her solution, given anonymously to admin, now coated the walls of the Arcopolis. The years since had been quieter, with biomass incursions much rarer than they had been the previous 30 years. It had given the city a chance to develop, for good or bad.
"What is it really?"
Beth asked.
"I know moving's a bitch, but we've got almost everything packed up now. Just have to get to the new apartment in Zeta."
Agatha leaned against her wife.
"I know. I just wanted to stop at some point. Things are so much different than when we landed. The new buildings in Eta and Theta use those strange, twisty blueprints. Harry is more of a gardener than a builder now. The houses are all packed together. My knees won't survive more stairs.
But most of your body parts still work decently well, as do mine, Beth said, waggling a calf back and forth. The older generationals are mostly in mobility devices or prone. You wouldn't believe how many I've seen come through the office who can barely raise their heads, bedridden and dependent on others to help them out. At least we were still pretty young when we left the ships. Try being a 50-year-old in zero G, and then live in a gravity well for another 40 years.
It would be nice if more of the grounders helped out their elders,
Agatha said.
Harry comes by, but I practically raised him.
Unlike her biological son. Her jaw clenched, and she pushed the memory away.
I sound like an old lady, but I haven't seen Shui or Frank for ages, not since Zhao walked out into the biomass.
It was her choice, Beth said.
And with as far along as the cancer was, I don't entirely blame her. We can only hope the biomass ate her cancer along with her and choked on it.
She opened her arms. Agatha rubbed her face and melted into Beth's hug.
Let's finish packing, she said into her wife's shoulder. The faster we get out of this house, the less I'll have to think about it.
40 years, 2 months after landing. Julian rubbed his nose. It had that drippy, weepy feeling that meant he was going to have another day of allergies, or some virus from the biomass. Maybe it was just a big weather change, though Admin insisted they lived in the most temperate part of Leda. Most people in the Archopolis didn't have allergies, Father Kophis had told him. Just like all the other children, he'd been genetically screened before gestating in the decanting tubes. But something had changed after he was about 8 years old. His older sister and sibling didn't get sick all the time. Why did he? He pulled out one of the alpaca wool handkerchiefs habitually stuffed into his pockets and blew his nose, then sniffed. He'd be blowing it the whole day until his nose went red. Speaking of red, he looked down into the handkerchief, then pressed it back against his nose. Another nosebleed. That was 2 this week already. Father Alvin would be wringing his hands with worry the next time Julian showed up at their house with his laundry. Maybe he'd learn how to do his own this time. Probably not. He kept walking along the Alpha Radian streets, behind a crowd of heads covered with wool hats. Always covering one's head had become the fad lately, which was fitting, at least in the rainy season. He was already late for work in the Alpha Food Distribution Center, where he served as a recorder for their inventory management system. It was a boring job, but a cushy one. Father Alvin had pulled strings to get him something in Alpha and far away from the biomass. His fathers had finally moved out to Delta a few years ago, due to mounting pressure from Admin. They had been one of the last generational families allowed in Alpha Radian. His sister had taken over their cozy little apartment to raise her own children with her wife. His other sibling looked to be settling down with the Poly group finally, and here he was, wiping blood off his nose in the misty morning. His hand shook as he finally took the handkerchief from his nose. Another tremor. This was a new development, and he felt like he should be more concerned about it, but he wasn't. He had a hard time focusing on his allergies when they weren't directly affecting him. He watched his fingers spasm, almost dropping the handkerchief before compulsively gripping it, smearing fresh blood on his fingers. His left leg almost buckled under him, and he leaned against the steelcrete side of one of the city center records buildings. Passersby gave him a glance, but no more. They were almost all grounders like him, mostly first and a few of the young second generation with their parents or running errands. Here and there was an older generational, none under 50 years old, and most nearing 70. Julian caught sight of a handsome young Vagal with a mechanical hand trailing 3 grounders. A true Vagal was a rare sight, though more common in Alpha than the other Radians. They were easy to identify because of their youthful appearance, even 40 years after landing, and because of their confident swagger. He'd seen this Vagal several times before, on his way out to Beta Radian. Most of the defensive corps that kept biomass from entering the Archopolis was now first-generation grounders, with the remaining Vagals all in positions of leadership. He sighed and tried to push away from the wall. His feet refused to budge, and Julian almost toppled over, just managing to catch his balance and hide his surprise. The twitches had never been this bad before. He looked up and over the towering nanotanium wall separating Alpha Radian from the crawling vines and mycelial mats of the biomass. He could just see the tips of the tallest fungal towers, standing 100 meters high or more, out past the wall. Out there, chaotic creatures roamed over the mossy mat at ground level, the mobile creations of mushrooms that acted as defense systems of the biomass. All children took at least one field trip into the terrifying jungle of fleshy growth outside the wall. There was a relatively defanged section near one of the doors in the Alpha Wall. Julian had taken his one trip and promised never to go out there again, which Father Alvin had firmly agreed with. He thought Father Kophis might have disapproved, but he never said a contradictory word in front of Father Alvin. His entry to the inventory recording warehouse was getting later by the second.
"Come on," he muttered to his feet, as if they would hear him and obey.
They did not. He was pressed to the wall as if loitering there, but his legs refused to walk the extra block to his office. He should have been petrified, but he'd had a few twitches like this over the last few weeks. They were just temporary, just an effect of his allergies. He strained again to come off the wall, like he was fighting against someone holding his legs. Julian gritted his teeth and clenched his abdomen.
"Get off this wall."
He forced every word through his teeth, but was rewarded only with a fit of coughing. He pressed the handkerchief back to his mouth and nose, trying not to spray grounders with mucus and blood. It was a full 2 minutes before he collapsed back, panting, his legs still locked in place. He pressed a hand to his chest and his fingers traced a hard lump under his skin. A spasming muscle? Had he coughed a rib out of place? His gaze wandered to the place he worked, counting the seconds he was already late. What had he been thinking about? His hand was still on his chest. Funny that. There was a... He really must get to work, or Janet, his supervisor, would have words for him. Julian nearly collapsed as his legs loosened, doing a little waltz to keep him steady. His hand stuffed the abused handkerchief into his pocket almost of its own volition. He jerked forward, as if on strings, trotting the wrong way along the nanotanium street, nearly colliding with a person riding a motorized bicycle.
"The other way."
He'd felt this strange loss of control one other time he'd had these twitches, almost like someone else was driving his body. But that was ridiculous. It was just allergies. He turned his feet back the correct direction with a sigh, only 10 minutes late to work this morning. He felt like he should have been more concerned with his allergies, his twitches, his nosebleeds, but he simply couldn't focus on them most of the time. They faded into the background so quickly when they weren't right in front of his face, like he just couldn't keep them in his head. They must not be such a problem if that was the case. He hadn't even bothered to tell a doctor. Only allergies, really. Julian continued his walk to work. 40 years, 3 months after landing, Chui pulled their goggles down to peer into the resinplast circuits in the printer.
"Frank, did you get this latest readout?"
They looked up when their uncle didn't immediately answer. The older man was staring at nothing, likely doing something on his HUD. The devices were few and far between these days, heavily repaired and modified. Frank was working on a replacement using resinplast parts, but wouldn't let Chui help with the project, saying they had too much to do with the programmable resinplast project to also work with the HUDs.
"Uncle Frank."
The older man shook himself and focused on Chui.
"The what now?"
"The readout I sent you from the printer. It keeps throwing an error when printing the latest C design. Admin's breathing down my neck to get more programmable resinplast out the building sites. We're never going to complete the latest updates to the building models if the printer doesn't do what it's supposed to."
Frank's eyes went distant again, and he leaned back in his chair. Chui stretched and cracked their neck, blinking in the harsh light reflecting off the nanotanium walls. They were more used to the rare alloy than the steelcrete and resinplast of the other Radians, after 12 years of working full-time with their uncle.
The two of them were the main research team on developing new resinplast solutions, and Shui wouldn't trade it for anything.
The chemical receptors aren't responding to the new viral commands, Frank said. Something's interfering with the co-opted reproduction commands, which means the new form we want the resinplast to take isn't happening.
That's the same problem I fixed last time, Chui answered. It's like the feed material isn't receiving our hijacked viruses anymore. Like it's reverting back to the original biomass's growth instructions.
The resinplast has been stable since Dr. Harley's mycophage barrier was perfected, Frank countered. If the biomass finally evolved around it, that's bigger news than we want. The new growth in Eta and Theta could be compromised.
Chui let their arms dangle by their sides, deflating. If the structure has evolved past the latest stopgaps, that's at least another year of research before we're back on task. Eta Radiant's taken almost 10 years to grow, and Theta is just getting started. We still have over half the buildings to print seeds for. Admin won't wait much longer. They only barely agreed to the new growth time frame because we promised nothing would go wrong with this method.
Short-sighted of us, wasn't it? Frank said.
He cut Chui's next words off before they formed.
Almost like one of us was desperate to get this thing into production because of the potential benefits.
I was ready to take another year for development, Chui protested.
I didn't say it was you, Frank chuckled.
Then he sighed.
Programmable biomass. Now the one ore vein under the city is exhausted. It's the holy grail on a planet with no nearby sources of metal in the crust. At least not close enough for us to get them without getting eaten by the biomass.
Well, this holy grail needs some adjustment, and I'm not sure where. Whatever is interfering with the viral commands is sneaky, Chui said. I'll keep tracking down the source. If I can determine how the biomass is working around the co-opted signals, it could save us years of setbacks.
Good luck. The original resinplast took 5 years to get right, and then we had to keep adjusting it. You've only been at this programmable stuff for 4.
Chui tapped the air in front of their HUD.
There are a finite number of ways for the biomass to interfere in the process. It's not like it has purposeful direction. I'll find the cause soon enough, or admin will have our heads.
They bent back to their work. 40 years, 3 months, 3 days after landing. Over the next 3 days, Chui tried every workaround they could find to make the printer spit out the correct seed template. They were working on a new residential section for Theta and needed a new row of apartments. Frank offered suggestions, but was largely tied up in the final revisions to the new HUDs, which were slated to go to admin and the Vagals next week.
It's not even printing the test seed any longer, Chui said, holding out a misshapen mess to Frank.
When first creating the resinplast, their uncle had discovered how to co-opt the viral information the biomass used to communicate between the animal, plant, and fungal sections of its DNA. For the programmable seeds, Chui had added new commands to the viruses, rather than just stop their communication. Programmable biomass had such utility that they could hijack the original viral propagation methods in order to propagate forms they preferred over the chaos of the biomass. There were so many patterns encoded into the biomass DNA, Chui had their pick of structural elements and supports, many coming from the fungal towers. It all hinged on their discovery of a control virus that directed where and how the other viruses traveled. They were the basis of communication in the biomass DNA, like cell surface receptors were in humans. Except there were also cell surface receptors in the plant, animal, and fungal cell types contained in the biomass. It was another layer of complexity tying the complex organism together. The biomass was one organism, spanning the entire planet. The theory was that it had subsumed many other species that once existed here, and the final product expressed features from many of those now dead species. It was what made the biomass so deadly, but also so useful. Thankfully, while it had taken some plant and animal genes into it, humans seemed resilient, which Frank insisted stemmed from their extrasolar ancestry and the genetic drift humans had accumulated on their 400-year voyage to Leda. The admins and Vagals were unchanged as well, but that was likely due to the gene mods they'd received before leaving Old Earth.
Have you changed out the processing board? They get old after a while,
Frank suggested, still staring off into space, testing the new HUD. Twice, Chui answered.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?